Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. I heard you got big news at your house.
Big news at my house. Yes, the last dumpster was removed today.
So your dream house is now complete?
It's complete. Complete after a weekend of steam cleaning. You know how much I love to steam clean.
I know. It's next to blowing.
It is. Next to the... I had the backpack blower on Sunday. It was a great weekend for me.
Imagine a backpack steamer.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
And blower.
Oh, you're driving me crazy. 20 hours. Seriously, there's a little monitor on there, and I steam cleaned for 20 hours. And you want to feel my forearm?
It's impressive.
It shows. Yeah, I can hardly grip with my right hand, but everything's clean. I love it. I love it. Love a clean house. And you know what, Lee? I also like the fitness component of my steam cleaning.
That's right. Exercise.
My quads got to work out. Feeling a little sore in the behind area.
Yeah, soon you'll be seeing that at Crunch.
Exactly.
House workout.
Oh, instead of the step class, I'll be teaching the steam cleaning
class. Yeah.
I like that. Well, there are a few things that excite me more than Kenny Rogers, and you know one of them for sure, right?
HR.
Human resources, employee benefits, exactly, and wellness. And we're going to talk about all of those today. We have some incredible guests this morning, but first is Joe Stone. And Joe, your experience would put you at about age 95. I'm not sure here, but 22 years with Colonial.
I look great for 95, don't I?
You definitely do.
I tell you.
Yeah, really, 22 years with Colonial. That's a long time.
I started when I was 12 years old.
A long time.
Yeah.
And today you're here to talk to us about a really interesting application called Easy HR Web, and you're the co-founder and president and CEO of that company, right?
Right.
And tell us a little bit about how you got started in the HR world.
Well, how I got started is like you said, I've spent 22 years with Colonial Life, and I helped invent the laptop enrollment process for the insurance business back in the wee years of 1980. And believe it or not, they had laptop computers in 1980. In fact, the laptop computers we used in 80 were black and white. So I know people don't remember that there were black and white laptop computers.
How big were they? How much did they weigh, those laptops?
No, believe it or not, they were about the size of a notebook, but they were about 4 inches thick.
Uh-huh.
But they were the first, and we thought they were the greatest things we'd ever seen. I mean, the little laptop, even though it had black and white screen. But how we got to do that is we used the laptops for enrolling and communicating a tax program of Section 125, which most employers today do, and that's the pre-taxing of benefits, where you allow your employee to purchase insurance business on a pre-tax basis. So we needed a way to communicate that visually, because that's kind of a hard process, a hard concept to understand, that if I'm going to pay for benefits, I can pay for benefits and also save tax money on them. So that's how we got to developing and inventing really the process of enrollment and using laptops. And the reason we had to do that is because we were a insurance marketing company that sold insurance face-to-face. So you needed some way to visually communicate how you were going to save tax money by buying insurance and
right.
then paying for it on a pre-tax basis.
So what got you interested in technology? Just that?
That. Because I was put on the committee to help try to develop this, and that committee, I stayed on the committee for 18 years, and then 9 years ago I left the company, retired, and decided there was a better way to do that. And I started thinking about this in the early 90s, in mid-90s, and I wanted to go from laptop to web-based enrollment because I read a lot about where Bill Gates and Ellison were headed. They were headed from machine-based software to web-based software. Now, you got to remember that the web in 1998, 1999 was 56K AOL dial-up.
Right.
That's a long time ago. So when I started talking to employers years ago about WWW, they thought it was a wrestling match, not the World Wide Web, here in the South. But we were ahead of the curve, but now since the web has caught up, and you can even go to Crystals and get high-speed internet access for free.
Wait. What's Crystals?
Crystal,
the
hamburger
place. I know Miss Health Food would know that.
Well, let's just—it's
like White Castle in the north.
Let's just say that you could go to a lot of places and get high-speed internet access for free. So that's how much the culture has changed in 8 years, from going to AOL dial-up to high-speed accessed mm-hmm. literally just about anywhere.
So what makes your system unique? Tell us a little bit about it, how it works.
The unique part of the system is that we can literally go, there's two main components to the system. The first component is what we call new employee acquisition, where it totally automates the process from job application, document collection, workflow control. Now you've got a person hired, and that's really where data originates for HR. Then once the person is hired, then they can enroll their benefits, and the benefits can be managed by HR on a web-based electronic basis. That cuts out a lot of time and inefficiencies in how they're dealing with the data. Normally, it's paper-based.
So the employee can access this system themselves individually, right?
Exactly. Each employee it has their own unique username password, and the system is branded back to the employer, so the employee thinks that they're using
it. Right, it's like a private label.
Exactly, it's a private label, and it's branded back to the employer, so the employee has to look and feel that they're still on their employer's site.
Right.
So they can go in with a username password, and then the site dynamically creates their portal, if you will, specifically for them.
For that individual.
For that individual. So my benefits, my costing, all the benefit offerings are tailored to me, and it's just not a generic.
Does it enable the employee to make changes like throughout the year rather than that one time a year?
Yeah, they can, and that's up to the employer. The employer controls the rules of how the employee can interface with
right,
the system.
Right, so it'll solve whatever problem that
exactly. In other words, routine maintenance can be done, or your benefit enrollment can be done, or life event changes as they occur mm-hmm. can be done, and that's all controlled by the employer.
So what types of businesses are using your system?
Right now, we are primarily, we've done a lot in the public sector. We have a lot of K-12, technical education, and higher education clients. And we have some commercial clients, but primarily we've been in
right,
the
so they're
public
the,
sector.
They're more open to adopting this? Is that what you're finding?
Well, that's where I've marketed it, the product. Now we're branching out into the commercial marketplaces, and we're finding a lot of companies that are very interested in our services.
What are some of the advantages that employers are seeing from adopting an electronic system like this? Is it a time savings? Is it a return on their investment? Can you elaborate?
It's time and redundant labor savings. Mm-hmm. Because anytime you're dealing with paper, someone has to produce it, someone has to push it around the organization, someone has to make copies of it, and then someone has to keep up with it. But when you put information on the web that you allow through security protocols, different groups of people to be able to access it on a real time, now the time component of collecting that information and using that information is greatly reduced. So that is a savings to the organization. Also, being able to, if you think about it, HR historically has kept information controlled locally. In other words, all my benefit information, all the information on the employees, everything is being held in the HR
right.
department. But if you put it on the web and you allow different groups of people to be able to access that on a real time,
right.
you push your information out globally through your organization.
Right.
And so more people have access.
And then I'm sure that's a challenge for you because then the HR people who you're trying to get this in with, they feel like, hey, what are you doing? That's my silo here.
Well, believe it or not, most, not all, but most HR people love the idea because they were hired as a professional to do, you know, quality recruiting, to do compliance, to do the things of HR. But what they find themselves doing is they're becoming
just
a very
more administrative.
Right. Stuff. They become a very high-priced clerk.
Right.
Where now they're having to keep, you know, make files and push paper around the organization. And if you're paying an HR director, a professional HR director, you're paying them quite a good salary and money. You're paying them for the professionalism of HR, not to be a high-priced clerk. So
right.
they're very open to it.
Uh-huh.
But what you find in a lot of organizations is the paper. People don't like to give up their paper. they are very
because paper's real. You can touch it.
A little piece of paper in your hand, it's kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling.
It's a security blanket.
Yeah, it's my security blanket. So that's the pushback. That's the main pushback we get from organizations is getting over that mental hurdle of, okay, where's the paper going to be? You know, really, I mean, where's it going to be? Okay, well,
it'll be somewhere safe. Just trust us.
Right, it's going to be on the web. You can access it, and you can print out as many copies of it as you want.
Right.
You can keep that printer humming over there if you want to.
So do employers have to replace their existing systems in order to use yours?
No. This is an outsourced software service model. So we can come in and plug our system into, for example, the existing payroll system, or even if they have some part of the HRIS system, which is human resource information system. My mouth's not working too well this morning.
That's a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. And that can be our system can be put into an existing system like that. So they don't have to throw out or stop what they're doing. They can add this on to their existing processes.
Excellent. You know, I'd like to introduce our next guest as well and have a little bit of a roundtable discussion. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This morning we have Rob Peters. Welcome. Rob has joined us today. He is a broker that really does understand the wellness component of healthcare. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in the healthcare business, Rob.
Thanks for having me on, Lee and Amy. I got started right out of college 7 or 8 years ago, moved to Atlanta from Washington, D.C., and worked for Sun Life Financial as a group rep, and was exposed to a lot of brokers regionally, and started working with Pritchard & Jordan out of our Buckhead office. We've been around since 1960 and work with a number of employers throughout Atlanta and have for a long time. I continue to have the same conversations with my clients since I started in the business, and that's how do I control my healthcare cost. So we really have gone, taken a proactive approach to seeking out wellness providers around the country and interviewing them and understanding how wellness should be integrated into the health plan. And
so I understand that the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that companies save $3 to $6 for every $1 they invest in wellness. So Joe, did that affect your wanting to incorporate wellness into your application?
Well, that, and we found it as a natural process because in our enrollment process, we have traditional and non-traditional enrollment products. In our non-traditional or virtual enrollment product, where you put together groups of for example, 1099 employees or associations that are not housed in one employer in one location. When we developed that process, we took the normal health collection process that you have to do to send that to the carrier to get a rate, to get a coverage, and we expanded that to collect more information on where the person was at in the disease pathway. Mm-hmm. So once we did that, then we realized there was a huge opportunity there to set up a life cycle event to where if we could push that information to an employer's health maintenance person. For example, if I have a nurse on site and I'm being monitored by the nurse on site that knows where am I at in the disease pathway or where my health condition is at. So if I'm a diabetic, am I checking my blood sugars? If I'm a high blood pressure person, am I taking my medications? Then they can report that back to the system, and then the system has the ability to send notifications out to different groups of people, one being the insured. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing in your, you know, little small pushes to go, are you taking your medication,
right,
are you checking your
right.
blood pressure, those types of things. So
and
that's
then,
where we saw the opportunity.
And then you mentioned earlier before the show that research shows that those kind of little nudges make a world of difference in terms of compliance, right?
Exactly. Humana did some studies that showed small nudges, as you said, make a huge difference in people's health. In other words, you take them from a reactive situation to a proactive situation, where if I have high blood pressure, and I know I have high blood pressure, but I'm not taking my medication, next thing I'm going to be is I'm going to be in the hospital with a stroke or something like
right,
that.
Right, and then the costs go
exactly
through the roof.
And now, but if I can be reminded to take my blood pressure, to keep, you know, to eat healthy, and maybe
right.
and maybe send information on diet and mm-hmm. other things like
right.
that, then Humana studies showed that made a huge difference in the health of the individuals.
Right.
Rob, tell us about some of the employer-sponsored programs like this that you're seeing in the market.
Well, what I think Joe is talking about is a very, very important piece of the entire strategic plan in designing the program. You know, keeping up the maintenance of those drugs is going to help with longevity of a good health plan. But where we're focusing our wellness plans on is targeting those 10 to 15% of the population that's most clinically at risk, identifying who they are, and then getting an aggressive lifestyle-changing program in place that we can take those 15% of the population and lower their risk significantly over a, let's say, 12-week period. And the reason why we do that is because 85% of the health claims are driven by 15% of the population.
Wow.
So if you target those 15% of the population, you'd lower your claims cost significantly. It makes a huge impact to the health plan.
So you find that in 12 weeks you can make that kind of a change where it really impacts?
It's across the board. One of the most successful programs we put in place targets in an eight week class. We have a registered dietitian and nurse comes on to the employer's location and teaches a 1 hour class once a week for 8 weeks straight. The employer pays the cost for that, and it really just focuses on the basics, everything from reading food labels to developing a workout routine, we've seen it to be incredibly successful because it bleeds into the culture of the employer, and within the group of employees, they realize this my employer's looking out for me, and this is really at the end of the day going to help me.
But how about the compliance of the individuals that are taking the classes? Do they stay compliant after those 8 weeks are up?
It's a great question, Lee, and that's one of the things that everybody asks. And the question is, I think you have to continue to stay on it. It has to create a corporate culture that starts from the top and goes all the way down, where wellness is an important part. It's really creating a safety plan for the health program. Everybody has a safety plan for your workers' compensation and all of your other risk in the workplace, but this is a safety program for your health plan.
Let's face it, y'all, it is hard to stay in shape, and it's hard to eat right, and having your employer support those measures would really be helpful. I mean, 65% of the population is overweight. 33% are considered clinically obese. That's 90 million Americans. What kind of support systems can you put in place as an employer to help these folks? Lee, tell us a little bit about Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy.
We've developed with another company a web application that allows people to stay compliant on a daily basis. It kind of creates that place where a person can go and log in their food, keep track of their exercise, and then get access to message boards and experts on a regular basis. The main experts, my business partner, Dr. Adam Shaffrin, he's Dr. Fitness, and he helps answers questions, and he deals with people on an individual basis if they have specific needs regarding their weight training or their exercise or even their nutrition.
You know, a lot of statistics show that an obese worker costs an employer about $2,000 a year extra. I mean, if you can really eliminate that, you can see quickly how a return on investment would come with somebody being in control of their weight, not to mention all the disease states that spiral out of someone being obese. And
right. Well, it's like Joe mentioned earlier, it's these little kind of little your gentle nagging little bit. It's all it takes to move people, because what we found, Adam and I owned a wellness center for a while, and what we found is that we were able to help people stay compliant for long periods of time that had never been compliant just because the trainer was calling them, or they knew that they'd have to report back to the trainer with what they ate. And if a person sees that there's somebody kind of looking over their shoulder, they're more apt to act more responsibly.
Or if they have reminders. Joe, you said some of your systems will be in place to remind people to even take their medications.
Right. And I think we all agree that if you have someone that you feel like, or something that is reminding you or that you can look to for information, then you're probably going to take care of yourself a little better than if you don't. And I think employers or everyone is starting to realize that we have to get out of a reactive society and get into a proactive society.
Exactly.
Because we've been a reactive for years and years and years, and healthcare costs have gone up and up and up and up, and we don't know why. Well, because we're not doing anything about it. We have a health plan, and we're waiting to get sick, and then when we get sick, we go to the hospital, and nobody's doing anything on the front end to make it proactive.
And what we found in researching our book was that most people think that they're failing because they don't have the self-discipline to do this. You know, they think, oh, you know, I'm going to have a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight. This is the year. And then a week later, they're out. You know, their program's right. over. Because what happens is one bad day turns into a bad week, and a bad week is a bad month. Right. And the next thing you know is they're off their program, and exactly. it's a distant memory. So the more things you can do to prevent them from saying, okay, you had a bad day. Tomorrow's another day. Start again right. and get back on the program. You're going to increase your chances of success.
Rob, what kind of return on investment are you seeing in the marketplace on wellness programs that are implemented?
Well, it takes a couple years to get the program going. And like I said, it's a cultural change. But the statistics say it's a 3-to-1 return on the investment. And where I see it really working is when you evaluate the program at the third year of it being in place. We talked earlier a little bit about nudging employees to do things. And one of the ways employers are doing that is to incentivize them financially through designing the health plan. And there's been some recent laws that have changed, I believe January 1st. Where you can have no greater than a 20% spread in the cost from one health plan to another. And that's been an interesting way employers have put this into place. They give the evaluation, the health risk assessment, along with a blood draw, and that will tell the employer and the employee who's at high risk. Once they do that, the employee can choose to participate in the program, and if they do so, they pay the reduced fee for their health insurance, and if right. they do not do that, they would pay the 20% spread more. And that's a good way to promote them taking part in managing their health.
Right, and they're an active participant then.
Exactly.
They're buying in.
I always say, you act a little bit differently when you have a little bit more skin in the game.
Exactly.
There's some effects. I really do think that being able to reduce your overall health care cost is important, because the problem really is not going away. When you talk about the people that are high risk, can you address that a little bit? You said you take a blood draw, and what would identify someone as being high risk?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Well, the blood draw varies between tons of wellness vendors, but where we focus on is really looking at the heart. So we do a lipid test, which is a lot less expensive than doing a full-blown blood draw and diagnosing everything. But when we do the blood draw, it typically costs $30 an employee. The employer pays for that, and it comes back, and it will talk about hypertension, their cardiovascular health. Mm-hmm. And from there, we would look at blood pressure and all those things that tie into the heart. I think if you target the heart, a lot of other things fall into place.
Sure.
It's probably important, too, not to just focus on those that are high risk, but to encourage those that are living healthy lifestyles. What are some of the things you mentioned about, like, a nurse on staff? Was that you, Joe? Somebody was talking about some other things that people are incorporating. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Well, from what we've seen, there are companies that you can enlist, and Rob can probably give us more information on that, but the companies enlist to do the on-site health education and health maintenance. I know there's one large manufacturer in South Carolina that has on-site nurses in all of their plants, and that's their full-time job. Their full-time job is to do the health maintenance and review for employees what their plans are for, you know, medicine, for weight reduction, for better diet, for what have you.
It's a very proactive thing to do, and those big employers are able to do that. And I think they're really seeing a return on their investment, and their claims are stabilized, and their annual increases are in the single digits versus what a lot of employers see it in 12 to 15%.
So are you seeing that this is going to be more prevalent?
Yeah,
the beginning of the trend here?
In fact, the employer that the company that I worked with, Colonial, years ago, back in the 80s and in the middle 80s, they built a health center on site for their home office employees that they tracked, and they gave the employees time off during the day to go work out at a
wow
at
that's
their own
pretty
health facility.
Ahead of the
oh it was really I mean we wow. had they had people coming in from all over the United States studying what we had done I'm not there
you
anymore, but they
it was
they,
just you
yeah that they had done, and it made a huge impact on not only the reduction as far as health care costs are concerned, but productivity went up.
Mm-hmm. I bet employee retention went up.
And absolutely. I mean, this thing was world class. I mean, you could go in, you could work out. And he actually washed your clothes and put them back in your locker for you.
Wow.
You really hit the nail on the head, Joe. When it's not just the health insurance premiums or the claims that people are focused on. It's the presenteeism, absentee management.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Those costs, those indirect costs account for almost three times the health care claims cost.
Exactly.
So that really is what you're targeting, and that's those innovative plans are saving them bundles
of money. Right, because what you want to be is a solution for the company to improve everything about that, you know, not just this one little aspect of it.
Right.
It probably improves morale as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Definitely did.
I would think that, it's part of the company culture then to be more health-focused and to be well. You know, there's so much that we could talk about today, but I think really just starting at the wellness and trying to take control of, you know, what we put in our mouths and our movement and the fact that so many people don't exercise or even walk. I think that the corporate wellness plans are incredible. Do you have to be a large corporation, Joe, to solicit your services or Rob?
Rob.
No, you do not. You do not. And I was at a conference in Phoenix the last couple of days talking about this with a guy who works out of Minneapolis, and he works in the agriculture business, and he says employers with 10 employees are really purchasing these wellness plans because they believe in the not only the health care costs, but all of the other indirect costs are almost more important than the health care costs.
And employee retention, too, because if you've got happy employees, you've got healthy employees, they're going to be staying with you rather than not.
Right. Well, the cost of turnover is incredible by industry, but, you know, I looked at a Cornell study. We work with a number of hospitality companies, and it costs $6,000 to $8,000 per employee when they turn over.
Right.
And you move up, more white collar you get, the more expensive that turnover cost is. So if you can retain employees, it certainly helps the bottom
exactly.
line.
Exactly. And that's our niche at EasyHR Web, is that we've designed our products for the small to medium, what I call medium-large companies. So we can get in and implement our processes in a smaller company to where a traditional enterprise-based system can't, because of the costing, can't get down to that level.
Well, that's great. You know, we were going to continue this meeting over lunch, but I'm thinking maybe we all just need to go for a walk or hop on the treadmill and have a meeting.
That's the new meetings happening around walking.
Yeah. I already did my treadmill work this morning.
Did you? All right, then we can go for sushi.
And I understand you were steam cleaning.
Yes, I think that's definitely a workout. Well, wonderful. Any final thoughts, Joe? How is the best place what's the best method for someone to reach you to find out more about your application?
They can reach us. We're on the web at EasyHR Web. That's EASY, not EZ.
Right.
HRWeb.com. And we have an office here in Atlanta. They can give us a call at 404-467-7695.
And how about you, Rob?
And we're at Pritchard and Jordan. We're in Buckhead at the Piedmont Center. My number is 404-949-1057, and our web address is www.pritchardjordan.com.
Wonderful. Thank you for listening to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, and we hope you have a happy and healthy day. Any final thoughts, Lee?
No, just keep moving, right?
Tell us where to go for Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy, too.
You can just go to drfitnessandthefatguy.com.
Wonderful.
All of our shows, guests, web applications, all there.
Excellent. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a wonderful day.